Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Table Talk. I am here at the table with my daughter Madison.
Hello.
And we are bringing you part two of how do we absorb God's Word. And I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then I'm going to ask Madison to read us Joshua 1, 8, and 9 again. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this time to discuss Your Word. Your Holy Word, we ask Your Holy Spirit to reveal to us what we need revealed. We come in reverence and a response, and we want to allow ourselves to be open to receive what we need to, and that it can shape and reshape us and change us to be more Christ-like in our thinking, in our loving, and in our doing. Holy Spirit, You are my best friend. I could not make it a minute of a day without You. Holy Father, thank You for sending the Holy Spirit to abide with us when You sacrificed Your Son to redeem us. Thank You, Jesus, for saving my soul and for forgiving the sins I commit and I will continue to commit. And by asking forgiveness of them, we again can be in relationship with You. In Your Son Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, Joshua 1, 8, and 9, and my version is the NIV. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Okay, and we, as a reminder, we were talking about basically the building blocks of practice or strategies that can help us absorb God's Word. And building block one, if you all will join with us, it's the very passive action of hearing. And then we put the second block on top of that base block, and it asks us to be a little more active in the participation, because now we are being asked to participate in reading of God's Word. And today we're going to spend this entire episode on studying God's Word, moving from hearing, reading to studying. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what Charles Swindoll says the act of studying is. The difference between reading and studying is very simple. It's adding a piece of paper and a pen. To begin studying, you simply must take notes as you read or listen. Write down the things that God is showing you as you think about a passage after you've read it, while reading it, or even while listening to it. Write down anything that comes to mind. I think that's an amazing thing to give yourself freedom and permission. And so if you have never studied the Word of God, or if you've dabbled in it, or if you've been doing it for years, I just want to remind you that there is freedom in your petitioning, in your questioning, or in the revealing of the Word of God. Just write it down. You may not even understand it as you're writing it. Just write it down.
Yeah. And one of the college pastors in the church that I have been attending as an adult. So he wasn't like my pastor, but he spoke one time during a time where I was starting to try to study the Bible and it felt overwhelming. One thing that he said was, when you say anything, it means anything and everything. And a lot, I think, I'm not going to just say women, but for sure women, probably everyone, we can get very distracted. And what we talked about, when we hear the word of God, that, you know, we might not be listening, we might not take it in. When we read the word of God, we can still get distracted. We cannot comprehend what we just read. When we study the word of God, we are going to have distractions. We're trying to obey the word of God and do what he told us to do, to read it. So why do we think that Satan would let us not get distracted? Mm-hmm. He is going to attack your hearing, your reading, and your studying. And if he is not, then you might not be doing it either long enough, or it, I don't know. He's going to attack, and he's going to start with your thoughts and your time. He's going to say you're too busy. He's going to say you're too distracted. You're not doing it right. You don't do it like Susie, you know, so
it's not meaning anything to you.
He's going to attack you, and that means you're doing it. So one thing that he said was, when you're doing your notes, like if you have a piece of paper, if you have a journal, whatever it is, you can put a box, and it can be your anything and everything distracted box. And that can be really helpful for us, especially women who have a long to-do list. And when you pray and you're writing down your questions and the thought pops up, I need to change my laundry, put it in the box. It's there. You've let it go. Now continue with your study. Oh, I need to change the oil in my car. Change the oil in my car. I need to make the lunches. Give yourself that time and space to write it down too. And you know that's a distraction, and you've written it down so you can remember it and you won't stress the whole time. And then you can continue with your study. And maybe one of those things is, I need to call Hillary. I need to speak with someone. Those things might be godly things. You don't know, right? So you're writing down anything that's coming to your mind, you're releasing it, and you're continuing with your study. And after your time, whether you've studied for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, however long you study, you look back and you say, oh, I still need to do the laundry, or maybe I need to tell Hillary about what I'm studying. Maybe that's a next step. You know, whatever it is, whether it's a godly thing or just a good thing or a distracted thing, you have not let your thoughts or distractions sway you from your study, and you can release that stress, you know, onto your paper and stuff, along with all your questions and your good things that you're learning. So give yourself that space. Do not feel shame or guilt that you got distracted. Everyone does. It is normal. And the more that you study, the more that those distractions will not be, and you will have a sacred space and time. I feel like I used to definitely use that page of my paper, and I don't need that anymore, just from my time that I have been studying. So bind Satan from your study time, but give yourself that space to make mistakes, to get distracted, add notes of anything and everything.
That's so powerful, so powerful. And I was going to echo exactly what Madison said. Part of doing that is to watch how God frees you from Satan's grip. Because if it's more about laundry and oil than it is about, I should reach out and ask so-and-so to lunch, I should check on so-and-so, I need to pray for so-and-so, I need to give someone a word of encouragement, and I think it might be from here, you'll see how God will shift that. And it's almost like you're keeping up a tally. Like Satan tried to get in 20 times, God sent something 2 times, and then the longer you do it over years of processing, it'll, like Madison just said, it'll start to almost revert. I'm not saying Satan won't ever come, and maybe he does distract you too, but now the 20 is going to be on God's side with, wow, that made me inspired to do this. That makes me think, act, motivated in heart this way. But yeah, that was so good. So authentic in its clarity of freedom and permission, freedom and permission. I think the one thing I think of when I think of studying is stop and just put yourself back in a classroom. I don't care if it was early, like kindergarten, first, second, third grade. I don't care if it was 4, 5, 6. I don't care if it was 7th through high school graduation. I don't care if it's college. Put yourself in a classroom. Just immediately go there. What do you think of emotionally when you hear the word? Today we're going to study, because I often think the way someone studies the Word of God or approaches the table to study the Word of God, you are bringing baggage or you're bringing a blessing. And that's just natural. That's natural around anything. Like, how do you like eating your vegetables? I mean, it's the same idea. So some women, when I'm offering them a way to study the Word of God, they're immediately like, yes. Usually that person was the type A, classic front row, good student. School was enjoyable for them. Maybe school came easy to them. Maybe they had photographic memory. They could memorize. They were good test takers. So automatically they're like, yes, let's study the Word of God. And then others, I can tell the minute the idea of studying the Word of God comes up, for some reason, somehow, they are teleported to a time of anxiety. Like, I'm not a good student, or I don't know how to study. Maybe it's not that they weren't a good student. They just don't know. They have nothing to support them in the studying of the Word of God. So they feel ill-equipped, or they've tried it, and now they're like, no, that's not something I'm good at, which may revert back to how you think of yourself as a student in the classroom. And then I also want you to stop and really go even deeper. Was there a time you were a good student and you felt studying was okay, and then it changed? So maybe it was a certain teacher that either brought out in you, like, I'm good at this, or was it a teacher that almost suppressed or put weight upon your shoulders just by walking into their room? It's like the air was sucked out of you. Versus another classroom door, when you opened it, it was just like you could breathe better in that space. And if that's the case, then if you have tried or haven't tried studying the Word of God, the one thing I would ask you is, have you done it in a place or with people that are trying to bring that positive energy and air back into the room? Because that helps so much when you're studying in a community with other believers, and it's okay, and no one's judging you, and no one thinks less of you for, I don't even know where the books of the Bible are. I have to use the index in the front, or I have to put tabs on my Bible. Okay, I've got tabs on my Bible.
This is not going to be graded.
Yeah.
You know, no, God's not like up there saying like, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
No one's, I mean, people might judge you, whatever, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's not judging you. And relishing in the community that you are giving him.
Yeah.
He wants to speak to you. He speaks through you. He's really just waiting.
Yeah.
He's waiting for you to come and for you to learn about him, because he's just, he's with you inside. You just wanting this community, this communication. He's just waiting to breathe life into you. For you to learn more about him, so then you can know more about you and who you are and how much he loves you and cares about you and how much he's has promises for you. So you know, he's just waiting. So if you feel like you're not doing it a certain way, he's not.
Yeah.
You know, any study is good study as long as it's biblical. You're looking in the Bible. You're making sure the thing, you know, you're making sure it's grounded in the Word of God, and that's what you're focused on. And if you're, whether it's questions or you're looking for Jesus's words or you're pulling out definitions or you're looking at different translations, it doesn't really matter, as long as you are spending that time to learn more about your God, your Father, and he's just waiting for that time so that he can breathe life into you.
Absolutely. And a little of my story is I was 13 years old. We were moving across states. We're going to a new town. I was starting a new school. I was leaving my vibrant church and my friends in community at that church and at my school. I was going to a brand new place, and I didn't want to go. I can remember that just my overall was pretty heavy, and I moved often. I moved about every 2 to 3 years because of my father's job. He was a mechanical engineer, and he would be hired by a company, and he would begin a project from conception. He was the actual drafter, so he would bring it to conception, and then it would make it to production. And once they had hired him to make it from an idea in someone's mind to actually can drive out onto the lot, they didn't really need him anymore, because that's what they were purchasing him for. It's like his brain and his ability of design. And then he saw it through, and they were like, next. So we would go from place to place as he did these amazing projects. And I never, ever really remembered being old enough or aware enough to not be excited about moving. My mom was a preschool teacher, so she could really ignite energy. And we always thought it was fun to put our things in boxes and move. And she always did a great sell on, oh, we get to go to a new place, and this place has snow, and this place now doesn't. And I just went along for the ride. I was the baby of three. I have two older sisters. Anyway, but I was old enough at 13 to realize, I don't want to do this again. I finally have made some connections. I'd like to keep them. But here we go, off to Corinth, Mississippi from Dubuque, Iowa. And we went to this church that I knew was going to probably begin to be our church. And I walk into the Sunday school classroom, and I looked at the room. It was small. It had one chalkboard. It was a table with a few chairs. And there was a lady sitting there. And I thought, oh, you've got to be kidding. At the time, I'm 13, so I think she's 80. Now I'm 56. I don't even know if she was 50, but you just have to know, you know, from my perspective, I'm like, she's an old lady. She had gray hair. She had on a dress. And I was just like, really? Because I had a cool youth group and a cool youth pastor. I'm like, no, you know, like insult on top of injury, God. And it was a Baptist church. So there were quarterlies, if you know what a quarterly is. And you got one each quarter, and it basically had all the Sundays in it and all the materials in it. So there were these quarterlies sitting all around this table. And I walk in, I don't know anybody. I think there were five or six other girls that eventually then came in the room. We were all sitting around this table. She introduced herself. She said we could call her Mama Dot. And I'm thinking, listen, geriatric lady, like, I'm sure pretty soon in one of these days you're going to end up being in a nursing home. Maybe we'll get a better Sunday school teacher out of this. And I'll never forget, like, one of the first things she said to us after, you can call me Mama Dot. She told us she had never been married. She had never had children of her own. And her passion was always to just teach the word of God to young girls. And I'm like, great. You know, so like, what can she tell me? She's not ever been married or had kids. So, you know, I'm really on the depression train. And then she held up that quarterly, which I had been in Baptist churches before. So I knew what those quarterlies were about. It's basically the lessons for the quarter. And I didn't have an ill feeling about them. I just thought, I've done this before. I know this routine. She picked up that quarterly and she said, I want you to put this with your Bible, and you're going to bring it back and forth with you every Sunday, because this is our church's, basically, you know, study plans. But I'm going to teach you something that you may have never known before. I'm going to teach you how to read and study the Word of God for yourself, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And she got out like a little almost like a pre-composition type journal that was just bound on the edge, not spiraled, and it just was lined. And she passed them around to us and said, write your name on it and put the date on it. And like, I'll probably end up starting to cry at this table. It unlocked for me something that no one had ever given me before. It was like a key to the fact that I have a good God that created me and loves me. And he wrote a book for everyone to read. And if we want to continue in a deep, deep relationship with him, and if we want the Spirit of God to whisper to us and ignite within us and to move us and to enable us and to put us into action, we have to read it and we have to study it. But no one had ever told me how to study the Word of God before. I had listened for years in my own home. I have wonderful Christian parents. I had listened to them read over me. I had gone to Sunday school. I had gone to youth groups. I had sat in big church. I had listened to sermons. I knew Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord of my life. But no one had ever said, I'm going to give you the best gift that you'll ever have for the rest of your life. I'm going to show you how you can have a relationship with your Lord and Savior and your Spirit and your God through his word. And it was powerful. And where I am with it now is not where I was at that table when I was 13. And she, you know, they kind of did looping in that Sunday school where they kept the same class more than 1 year and praise and thank God. Mm-hmm. So she was my Sunday school teacher for 2 years in a row. And what I learned from Mama Dot in that space was free and freeing, and it gave me permission. And it began in me a very unique and personal way that I connect with my Lord and Savior. And here's what's sad. We moved again, and it was like never talked about again. And so, and Maddie, my daughter, can sit here and tell you what, and when she found out anything really about what I do, because for all of a sudden then I thought it was almost like taboo. I thought, apparently we don't talk about this. But what Mama Dot had showed me to do, I just kept doing, but I did it on my own. I did it in private. It was my lifeline. I don't know how I'd have done life without it, but I never again in a church, in a Sunday school group, in a discipleship training class, in a woman's ministry night, it never again came up. And it's, I know it's not because people aren't reading and studying God's word. It can't be. But I thought, why don't we talk about it? And then I knew from my husband and from my son who went to college to be in ministry that it is talking about, but it's often spoken about with men. Like, this is how men read and study the word, or men go to college and learn how to do some of this because they're going to be pastors. And I thought, what about women just doing it to live, to get through day one, to day two, to day three, to day four, to be good daughters, to be good sisters, to be good wives, to be good mothers, to be good co-workers? I mean, this is air in our lungs. This is our spiritual diet. This is what we should be feeding on. And I just kept doing me. And then the moral of this whole story is basically, my profession was in education. I was moved from that profession up here to Northwest Arkansas. I was watching Madison's son, Mickey, my grandson. I'll vividly remember I was in the bathtub because the tub is often where I go to just relax, not to cleanse, just literally to like bathe, to soak, which I think is so biblical to think about because I just like bathe and soak in the Word of God. So I was just like bathing, soaking in there. I had a candle lit. The lights were low. I had my bath salts in. And I was crying. And I remember I said, God, there has to be a purpose. There has to be more of a purpose. I had such a passion in education, and I was trying to impact so many children and teachers and parents in my community. I know you wouldn't have told me to stop that and come up here if you weren't going to give me another passion. And I remember I saw a picture, and it's crazy to think about, but it was like a rabbit and it was like a carrot. And I remember thinking, what? I'm going to start a farm. And I remember it was, I just got this aura, this thinking of, like, you've had this carrot in front of you dangled out there by Mama Dot, and you have fed on that carrot, and you have grown, and my word is what grew you. And then it was like all these rabbits came, and it was like this big hand that I knew was like his with this carrot, and that first rabbit was me. And then it was like the hand holding the carrot became my hand. And all these rabbits, you know how rabbits multiply. And I just got it. I just got it. I don't hear voices. I didn't hear words. I just got it. It was like, I'm supposed to dangle that carrot. I'm supposed to somehow offer just what I do and what I have done and what has grown in my life and the mentors and all the pastors and everyone that has spoken into me and over me. I'm just supposed to model that and replicate it. I'm just supposed to say, hey, anybody else want to have a relationship with God like no other through hearing, reading, and studying his word? And if the rabbits come, they come. And so to not, well, probably monopolize this whole episode, he utilized me and inspired me through the church we then found to join, New Life Church Fayetteville, to start a women's ministry. And I'm like, I don't do women. I like kids. Like, let me lead a choir, or let me work in the Little Life room, or let me run VBS. And he was like, nope, don't need you on any of those teams. And he's like, you're going to lead a women's night. You're going to lead a women's Wednesday ministry, and you're simply going to offer them the carrot of my word. So I'm going to stop for a minute. I need to blow my nose. And I'm going to let Maddie speak to any and all of that. And then I'll talk more about mentors and different people that have breathed into me more of where I am at this time. But I'm going to let Maddie take over.
Yeah, so anyone that knows my mom is a very vibrant personality, to say the least. And I knew this from forever. And I knew that both my parents were amazing followers of Jesus, and that they had a close relationship with the Spirit in different ways. I saw my dad reading the word every morning, and I knew my mom had a close relationship with the Spirit, and she would tell us things that I knew she got from him in different ways. As I got older, well, from very young, I claimed Jesus as my personal savior in my life. And then as I got older, you just grow up in the church and you do the things that I'm very good at doing, the things that I'm told. I'm a good student. And so college was the first time that I had to choose for myself what I wanted to do. Did I want to go to church? Did I want to continue reading the Bible? And that was a hard time. When I played basketball, we were on road trips a lot, and I missed church. So I had to choose, you know, my own relationship with God, and I did. I heard and I read, but I wasn't studying. Like, we're talking about how do you absorb the word of God? I was hearing and I was reading, but studying I had never done, unless I was in a group where someone told me, hey, this is what you do, this is what we're going to do, meet back the next week. I was a really good student. Whatever the box was, I checked it. And then it was on me, and no one told me what to do, and no one, you know, I had the freedom to do or not do, and there was no one holding me accountable. And that was when that was scary. I had never had that freedom before. So then I got married, I found a church of my own, whatever they told me to do, I did. If they told me to read the whole Bible, I read the whole Bible. If they told me to study Genesis, I studied Genesis. I did what I was told to do, but it was hard for me to personalize the study of the Word of God. So then when my mom came up here and started the group, I wanted to be a part of the group because I was the only child close. Mm-hmm. And I felt like someone should be there to witness, you know, morbidly someone passes away and then, you know, like, wait, we don't even know what mom did, you know? So in the back of my mind, my grandmother had passed away, mm-hmm. you know, a couple years before, mm-hmm. and someone that I called my grandma, but was not my grandma, had passed away. And you heard all the things at their funeral, all the things that they had poured into, all the people that they had blessed. And I wasn't going to miss that. So to be honest, I went to the group because I wanted to support my mom. I wanted to be there. I wanted to hear what she had to say. I did not think really anything of it besides that. And so we start going, and then she, you know, she's teaching us, giving her testimony. It is wonderful, spirit-filled nights. And then I could tell things switched, and she felt called to teach us how to study the Word of God. And she had never taught me the way that I knew she was doing it. She had never specifically taught us how to do that. So that was amazing. And I still followed what she told me to do. You know, this is what you're going to do. We pick out your words. I picked out the words. Find the definitions. I found the definitions. It wasn't until the next semester where I went on a marriage retreat. I got away from my job and everything, and she had given us a verse to look at, and I was like, oh, I finally have the time and space to just be. And just, she had given us some different ways to study, but I hadn't personalized it, and I had learned a lot of things, but I hadn't felt like the Spirit had really spoken to me yet. Mm-hmm. At part of the waiting, I thought maybe he only speaks to certain people. Maybe he chose and spoke to my mom, but he will never speak to me. Mm-hmm. Which I will tell you is very untrue. So at this retreat, I am out there in the more quiet, still morning. I'm hearing birds. The water was on the beach, so I'm hearing the water ebb and flow, and I'm choosing to study this verse, but I'm not rushing, and I'm not doing it because I want to check the boxes. I'm doing it because I want to know God, mm-hmm. and I want to spend my time getting to know Him. And I felt in that moment that I was finally studying for the right reasons, and I was finally giving Him the space and time to speak back to me. And that morning I felt like He spoke to me, and it was nothing audible or anything. There were cardinals in the trees, and they reminded me of where my mom lives, where Mickey was staying. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like I'm keeping him safe. And I knew that that was His way of speaking to me. And then I looked up some different things, and just the verse that I was in, he was just speaking to me in a way that I hadn't felt like He had spoken to me before. And I think He's been speaking to me for years and years. I just wasn't aware of it. But anyway, so I learned how to do the steps, and then I have made it kind of my own. You can study the Word. What I have learned in my what I have witnessed in my life is you can learn about the Bible in so many different ways. You can learn about God in so many different ways, but how he speaks to you is so different. And there is no right or wrong way to enjoy and delight in the Bible. And so how I have found changes. This week, I might just take my notepad out and write questions and look up definitions and just read the same verse over and over. The next week, I might really dive into the history and really dive into translations, because that's just how he's leading me and how I'm feeling. If you look across the table, my mom has so many notes, colorful, different Bibles open. And I'm not done with my study of Joshua 1, 8, and 9. I just haven't gotten there yet. I don't feel bad about that one bit. We take our time. We do things differently. Her Bible translation is different than mine. I probably started in a different box because I usually always start with the looking at who spoke the verse, who wrote the verse, when it was written. I love the history of things.
She gets that from her father.
and I, you know, sometimes just we do things differently. And he speaks to us differently. Mm-hmm. And I right now would love to go back to my younger self. I know it wasn't the right time, but just say there's steps that help you learn, and those are so good. But then the freedom of mm-hmm. doing what you enjoy mm-hmm. and enjoying the study and not rushing it to check a box, but being and giving that time and space to be. And if you write one question, you wrote one question. If you just copy the verse over and over and over again, then that's what you did. You know, giving yourself that freedom of, I'm not feeling this today, I'm going to change it up. I feel like he's telling me to wait. I feel like he's telling me to move on. Maybe I need to spend more time. That freedom is what I missed when I was younger. I probably wasn't ready for it. But now I can tell that's where the fruit of the Spirit lies, when I am enjoying my study. And there are days where I don't enjoy it more than others. And you do it because that's your habit. Kind of mm-hmm. like Mom talked about last episode. You do it because you do it. But I can say, once I found the freedom to study the way it kind of sounds selfish to study. I want to study, but I think he personalizes mm-hmm. it and allows us the freedom to find him, and he meets us where we are. And we come to him as we are, and we ask him, I'm seeking you, speak to me. And he answers. He will answer every time. We seek him, we knock on that door, he will answer, he will speak to you. I believe that. So I think it's okay for us all to look differently when we study. Mm-hmm. And he will meet us where we are, and he will speak to us. But within that, if you're doing it for the right reasons, if you're doing it at all, and you're giving him time and space, he's going to speak back to you, and the Spirit will fill that study session and give you so much delight. I love studying the Word of God, because that's where I meet with him, and I know he's meeting with me too in a different way through the Bible. So I love it. And that's where I have found, kind of like my mom, I found this nook where it's not religion or mm-hmm. spirituality. It's just communing mm-hmm. with God. And there's just nothing like it.
It's like having a spiritual tutor. And the tutor I need isn't the tutor Maddie needs, isn't the tutor you, the listener, needs, because God has, like Madison said, created us each uniquely. So the way he wants to relate to us is going to be unique to us.
Yeah.
But it's the same Word of God.
Same Word of God. Different times.
Yeah.
Different places, you know.
Different life situations.
We're in different stages of life.
Yeah.
you know, if we've talked about this before. If you read the same verse that you have studied intensely in one section, the next year you come back to it, you're going to get so much new and different information. It's going to hit you different. Your words that pop out to you are going to be different, but you're going to have so much background knowledge already to stack on top of that. So it's never a bad idea to just keep reading and keep studying. We have to, because we're just going to keep learning and growing, and he's going to keep revealing different things to us each time.
And so we're actually going to stop this episode with hopefully wetting the whistle of your life to, oh my goodness, I've got to start studying God's word. If you're not already doing it, or if you're doing it, but you're not enjoying it, or if you don't feel like you are developing a deeper relationship with him through it. If, like Madison mentioned, and I've been there in the past, if you're doing it just to be doing it, but you're like almost in a drought, then hang in here with us. We're going to close this episode out, but we're going to actually speak more about opportunities for you to include in your how-to studies the next time we meet. So thank you for listening. We hope we are inspiring you to be honest and vulnerable with yourself, to not allow Satan to make you feel less than or guilty, but that you just start wherever you are, start increasing your ability to hear his word, read his word, and study his word. And so we're going to give you some how-to tips. We're going to share some of our downloads. So we will talk to y'all next episode. Maddie, thank you for being at my table. I love you so. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.